Reading tonight is from Ephesians 4, verses 17 to 24. And it says this. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and are separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they're full of greed. That is, however, not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. I'm going to pray and then we're going to get started. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love for us tonight. I thank you for the glory of how you have made us and the glory of your plan for our lives. And I pray, Father, that you would raise up in this group of people a church that lives differently, lives distinctively, and lives in the fullness of all that you have for us. We thank you for your love, Lord. Amen. So this is the first talk in a new series that we're doing this term on living differently. The call of Christian living. What does it mean to live as a disciple of Jesus? I think it's going to be on the second half of Ephesians, if I'm right, which is really appropriate, partially because Ephesians as a book is one that in many ways has many similarities and much to say to our culture in 21st century London. Ephesians was a large, wealthy city. It was the capital of its region in a prosperous country. And in this city, Christians were a minority, most people devoting themselves to a kind of hedonistic lifestyle, pleasure, comfort, wealth. And so whether we are tempted to kind of go after the consumerist rush of the January sales, just buy, or binge drinking like a 17-year-old who's a little bit lost, or going after the lifestyle of the city slicker who works hard, plays hard, and this is a book that speaks to our situation, because in many ways that was the situation that Paul was writing to. And the message that Paul gives today to that church is one that we're called not to live in the same way, but actually to live a fuller life, to live a distinctive life, and to live the life that actually humans are designed for, which is more than a giving yourself over to sensuality. It's putting off that old self and living in the fullness that there is for us as Christians. The image of putting off the old self and putting on the new self is a slightly strange one. It's almost as though Paul talks about us as though we're an item of clothing. I guess it might provide a helpful image for what he's trying to say. Because if I turn up to my to work in my 90s shell suit jacket, it's not going to go down very well. It wouldn't help me to turn up to it. Wouldn't necessarily help to turn up to an important meeting in this jacket. But if I take off the old self, even though I love it, and put on the new self, suddenly I'm looking like a little bit sharper but the thing is, this passage is obviously about more than just jackets. It's about our whole identity. It's putting off your old identity, putting on a new identity. So maybe a more helpful image would be a superhero ripping off their old suit to reveal a super suit. We see in popular culture Clark Kent turning into Superman or Peter Parker turning into Spider-Man, and you have this kind of people revealing their true identity. So that's what we're talking about today. Take off the old self, put on the new self, reveal who you really are. But what does it really mean to take off the old self? I found reading verses 17 to 19 really interesting, because I think they identify that the self is made up of three parts: our actions, our head, and our heart. And it says to us that we need to make all of those in line with Christ. Our actions have to live. We have to act as though we're Christians. We have to have our heart after Jesus, and we have to make sure that we're thinking in a way that honors God. You'll see on the screen verses 17 to 19. It's not very big. Actually, it is quite big. It's not very big on that one. which says, I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live. So that's like a doing. That's what we do. You must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. That's a head thing. They are darkened in their understanding, another head thing, from the life of God because of the ignorance, head again, that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. That's something in the soul. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensualities. That's an action. And we have that, this almost the self in this passage is made up of those three poles: actions, head, and heart. And I think I see this when I talk to my my friends about faith. I had a chat with a friend at uni, and initially the conversation was entirely intellectual. He was an agnostic for intellectual reasons, and he just presented me with these arguments. But I guess as a vicar's kid, you are talking about faith all the time, and I just was a little bit sharper than him at the intellectual arguments, and slightly eroded away at the the intellectual substance of what he was saying. It wasn't that coherent. But then it became clear. I asked him a question: if this was true, would you want it to be, and would you be willing to change your lifestyle? And with impressive honesty, he said no. He's so content with his kind of me first, I want to live as I want to live, and I don't care about God way of living, that he, even if Christianity was true, and even if the God of the universe actually exists and actually loved him, he wouldn't be willing to change the way he was living. And his identity was built on these three pillars: his actions, his head, and his heart. And his head knowledge provided the scaffolding and the justification for the way that his heart wanted to live and the way that he was living. But I think that's maybe true for all of us. What we think, what we do, and what we want come together to shape who we are. I'll say that again. What we think, what we do, and what we want come together to shape who we are. And I wonder how that affects our lives. Paul's writing this to a church that was a minority in its culture and therefore vulnerable to taking on the values of that culture. I think often that can be true for us too. To draw a political example Dad referred to earlier, you look at American Christianity at the moment, and their fear and obsession with their own comfort has meant that they've banned refugees from Syria this week. You just feel like the thinking and the actions of that, justified by faith, has been warped by an ungodly desire for comfort, and it's not actually rational. It's not a rational, like, that's not where Christianity should lead you, but it's because of the heart desire for comfort they've shifted the goalposts. And Paul's message: throw off the old self, throw off that obsession with comfort, is one that they need to hear, but also I think one that often we need to hear. Because we live in a consumerist society, and how many more hours did we spend in the run-up to Christmas worrying about the shopping over praying? And we live in a success-obsessed culture. Do we put more of our time into work and then give our family lives the fag end because we want our worth to be recognized at work? Do we need to be successful to the extent that actually we don't give our best in other contexts? And we live in an affirmation-obsessed culture. How many of us fail to hear that we are loved unconditionally by our Father in heaven, and therefore run after the affirmation of other people? I guess sometimes to the detriment of our faith. the call on us is therefore to just to throw off the old self and to bring our actions, our head and our heart in line with Jesus. I've got a set of three questions. And I'd love for you to spend just a couple of minutes thinking about these before I move on. Maybe turn into pairs or not, up to you, but just maybe just spend a couple of minutes thinking about these questions before I move on. Does anyone have anything they'd like to feedback? Great.
We were just talking about how often if my actions are just led by what I feel, then often I won't do the right thing. I will be selfish. I won't want to help people. I will struggle to give. But I think in all of this, it's an obedience to God that underpins us being able to do, to live in the new self. So I think it's a step of faith to go, I'm going to choose to act in the way that Jesus would have me live. And then there's something about when we do that, that it opens us up to, it softens us, I think, so that then we begin to feel and think in a different way.
Mm. That's great. Anything else?
I think a lot of what goes in comes out. So if all you do is feed yourself junk TV, junk food, junk books, then that's all that's going to come out of your mouth and out of your thoughts. So you need to continually feed yourself healthy stuff, edifying stuff. Otherwise, it's just going to... Well, God's not going to be in it.
I just think for me that I can have... being a Christian, horrible thoughts, bad attitude, and actually... I can only do it by surrendering to God and asking help, because I know that I can just be quite a horrible person, really. But, you know, that's the human part. And I can become very aware that I can't be what God wants me to be without God helping me to be like that.
Mm.
So I need that surrendering and receiving of the Spirit every day and every minute of the day, to be fair.
That's a really good point for me to move on to the second point I wanted to make, because it would be easy for this talk to feel quite severe today, because and the series we're doing to feel quite severe, because the second half of Ephesians is about living a holy life. It is about us called the call to distinctiveness, but the second half of Ephesians comes after the first half of Ephesians, and if we're gonna It's profound, tweetable stuff here. and we'd never read a birthday card, a letter, or a Facebook post if you started halfway down. You'd miss a lot of the important information. I found a silly example this week. If you read that, it could be quite a fun game to work out what the headline is. Because it could be anything. Labour under threat from UKIP. By-elections will be defined by Brexit. Stoke. Something about Stoke. but as it was about Labour's Brexit dilemma. And you wouldn't be able to tell from that passage of text what actually the whole was saying. You can just tell that it's about something about Stoke. And in Ephesians 1 to 3... Is Paul declaring, this is who you are, and this is how God has made you, and this is how we are to live. And in Ephesians 4 to 6, it's almost like Ephesians 1 to 3 is, this is your identity in Jesus, and this is how you are made. And then Ephesians 4 to 6 goes, therefore live like that. Because God does, as Paul says, it's only with Jesus that we can do that. So before finishing tonight, I really wanted to look at who God says we are in Christ. In Christ, we are adopted. We are drawn into God's family, which means that we can share in Christ's power and have a wonderful, glorious inheritance. Hear that again. In Christ, you are adopted into God's family. In Christ, you are made alive and do not have to fear death. In Christ, you have a purpose to live for God's glory and to sing his praise forever. In Christ, there are no barriers between us and God. Where before there were, in our own strength, there always are. In Christ, there are no barriers between us and God. In Christ, we are redeemed, and in Christ, we are chosen. You are chosen to be holy. So when you feel like you can't do it, when you feel like you can't throw off the old self, you have to know that Ephesians 1 declares you are chosen to be holy. That is how you are made. That is how God, and that is how, when God picks you out, that's what he makes you for. He doesn't just choose you to be like, kind of have a legal righteousness before him at heaven. He chooses you to be holy now, and you can put off the old self because actually the Holy Spirit empowers us to do that. And in Christ, we are loved with an unfathomable love that surpasses knowledge. It is a love that is deeper than anything you can know. And so even if you are struggling to throw off the old self, today Jesus says to you, you are loved. Every so often you meet people who understand the fullness of that grace. I remember in South Africa, when I was there a few summers ago, I met a man called Payetu, who'd been from a Mozambican slum, and actually he'd been an orphan there. He'd been helped by a Christian group, but then he'd gone back and he was living there for a while, and he managed to get a girl pregnant, but he didn't have the money to sustain his baby. And the orphanage that he'd been part of, actually, they just welcomed him in and gave him a job. And that tangible act of grace meant that he understood grace in a way that I think a lot of us in the West will never do, because we have a lot of what we need. He understood how wonderful it is to have eternal hope. He understood how awesome the love of Jesus is, and he understood how joyful it is to be able to say, I am redeemed. And while I was in South Africa, his sister died. He was only 28 or something, but his sister died. But the next day, he was on his knees in worship because he understood the glory of that redemption that there was for him in Christ. His perspective was transformed by knowing Jesus. And I guess the message of our passage today is put off the old self and live as you were made to. And put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And that's not a works thing, that's just a live as you have been. Live as I want you to live. That's what Jesus says. And so as we finish, I'd love it if each of us listened to this song and meditated on the list on the screen, asking God to show us what one of these truths mean for us this week, the list from Ephesians 1 to 3.